laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps. We got the Belgian recap coming at you today, and then kind of a summer break preview. But before we get into all that, we are again brought to you by the Cappy this episode. Again, the Cappy. You can get these on Amazon, 4-pack. And it's kind of ironic that, of course, this episode is sponsored by the Cappy heading into summer break for F1. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, what? Obviously, we're going to be off for a little bit. What are you going to do with your summer break from F1?
I will be poolside.
Poolside. Oh, that's right.
As much as I can. Got it open. It's as clear as day. A little bit of dirt on the bottom still. Can't get that out, but that's all right. We're swimming, boys.
And, of course, in Minnesota, it gets hot and muggy and mosquito-y. Our state bird is a mosquito. You can keep them out of there with the Cappy.
Absolutely. No worries at all. Got kids jumping in the pool. No pool water gets in my drink.
For sure. Joe, summer break. What are you doing?
Well, obviously, I'm researching more F1, right? I mean, I feel like the F1 season never ends. It goes from February to December. We get that 1 month off.
Well, for true F1 fans.
Exactly.
It's 12-month season.
It's a 12-month season. So besides that, however, I mean, yeah, summer's a great time to get together with friends, you know, share a couple brews, a couple jokes. Cappy's really good with a bunch of people, you know. You have this little key ring here thing, so you can hold a lot of them at the same time, and they're different colors. So if you're all drinking the same thing, you can make sure that you're not sipping from someone else's drink.
Yeah, I always forget they are color coordinated. You can kind of plan that out.
Yeah,
You just got to put a little tape on your shirt so you can remember yourself which one is yours.
Ah, good point.
Or you just get two. Keep one on your keychain.
I feel like that's just not going to go well after a good old day of Cappian.
Well, with that, again, thanks to the Cappy for sponsoring this episode. Let's dive right into that Belgian recap. And of course, before we run, I mean drive, right into the Belgian recap.
You'd think this guy's the dad over here.
Yeah, no, zero kids so far. Let's roll right into, obviously, who we got next to me, Joe, our co-host. Joe, what's going on this week?
Nothing much, you know, just busy week. I love Spa. It was a really fun race to watch. Sad it's over. Sad we have the summer break. I know I joked about being in F1 all the summer break, but there's only so much you can do. Hopefully silly season is truly silly. That'd be nice.
Going to Road America this week, though.
I'm going to Road America doing sports car. Definitely different from F1. Very, very different from F1. I know every time I go, I'm always asking questions of the people I go with because I'm always in the F1 kind of rule mindset, and it's just so different.
Sure. So if you see Joe out at Road America this weekend, come say what's up.
Yeah.
And obviously next to Joe, we got Tyler. Tyler, what's going on?
Not much, man. A little bittersweet today as I'm going to be taking a little break from the pod here, welcoming my third child into the world. So going to have to go be a dad. But I'm excited to be here, man. Fun race. It was Spa. Spa's always fun. I love racing that track. I love just going through in Roush. It's my favorite part of the entire game.
I want to agree with you so bad. But my track record there is not good.
No pun intended. Through there.
I got full of them.
We're on fire today.
All right, let's just move on. Nobody's listening. So let's roll right into, quali, before we get to the results, which were wild. Quali was kind of interesting. To me, obviously, Max, you know, getting pole, but not because of the grid penalty. So
he didn't even just get pole. He got pole by half a second.
Right.
He was insane. So fast all weekend. It really shows just like, I mean, do you guys think it's the driver that's good in the rain or if it's still the car that has the superiority? Because, I mean, once the rain went away, obviously, people were a little more even matched, but he was dominating. Like, there was, like, no question who was the fastest on Saturday by any means.
I think it would have been closer if the rain wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think, you know, experience comes into play with that. The car, I don't know, because Sergio did so good, too, right?
Yeah.
We haven't seen that in a really long time.
What a great quality from Sergio.
So it might have something to do with the car. But, I mean, are they – I guess I don't know how much teams would effort they would put into making cars better in the rain versus better overall and how much they're, like – I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. That's an interesting question because, like, the Red Bulls looked stupid fast on Saturday and did not have the pace Sunday. Max had the pace.
Yeah, one of them had the pace.
But
yeah.
I would say that the car necessarily didn't because there's, I mean, the car is what held Max being, you know, a podium, let alone winning this race. Like, he's done the last 2 years from 11th after a grid penalty.
Yeah.
Nah, true. Yeah, I just agree. I agree with everything you guys said. Obviously, Red Bull, Max specifically, but Red Bull was the fastest of the weekend, including quali. And then obviously, if we get into the results now, Checo did not quite. I don't know. That was the biggest disappointment for me. But before we even get into that, sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. We had George Russell winning the race, only to be DQ'd in post. And what it was, because he was overweight? Yeah.
Underweight,
that's what it was.
Like what, it was like 1.5 kilos, I think?
1.5 kilos or 3.3 pounds.
Gotcha. Yep.
Underweight. Gotcha. And that's because he used more fuel? Wasn't it fuel-related, they said, I thought?
They tried to trick the FIA from a little fuel draining, but you have to drain the car. I think it's like 1.5 liters of fuel. It's a certain amount of fuel you have to actually like leave in the car post race for. We actually like
for
touched
weight
on
purposes.
It. No, not for weight purposes. So the car doesn't run out of gas on the track.
Yep.
So it's I actually learned that from Joe earlier this year in the pod. But it was like I don't know. It just something seemed fishy about the. Not that like George was able to do a one stop. He drove the race of his life. It was an absolute phenomenal performance by him.
Seriously.
I don't think that can be taken away. I don't know how much 1.5 kilos truly does matter, right? Did he have that over this course of the last, 30 laps he didn't pit? Are those tires going to manage as well? I don't know. That's the schematic. It's too bit little inside baseball for me. So, but it sucks for George.
It sucks for Mercedes, too.
Toto, like, I don't know. Toto just looked fishy after the race. He didn't like when you get a 1-2.
He almost knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just
looked so
too.
Fishy after race. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't like even when they finished, he didn't get like excited like he usually
like he
does, you
would.
Know, hop on the radio, hyping up. Like they
it's
got
like
a 1-2.
He already knew that they were going to be DQ. Yeah,
it
that
just,
is weird. He
it just
really
seemed
had no,
fishy.
It was there was no emotion. Like
no.
At all. It was just like there was just
and he
nothing.
Just FaceTimed
that is
Susie.
Super weird. That is super weird. What it at least does show you, if you're a Mercedes fan, that the team's absolutely going to be going in the right direction at the hands of George Russell. I mean, I'd feel pretty good right now. And, I mean, they just keep getting better and better, more consistent as far as, like, podiums go. Obviously, the DQ this race. But, I mean, Lewis right behind him.
Yep.
And not only was he right behind him, Lewis was still charging there at the end, too. Yeah, he got Piastri right behind him, too, who was also coming. But seeing Mercedes 1-2 is insane right now. I just 2 years ago, I would have never thought we were going to get this close to seeing it again, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
After Lewis and Bottas and I don't know. Anything else on Mercedes, Joe, that you saw?
Yeah, it's truly a bummer. I agree with you. And I heard that there was a lot of speculation on Mercedes maybe knowing about it. And reading the penalty notes, it seemed like that they did not argue about it at all. They're not trying to appeal it. They just were like, yep, this is how it is. I don't know exactly how the weighing process happens and what exactly is weighed, but I know that something that the drivers typically do is pick up rubber before they go into the pits. And after hitting the checkered flag, they were told to just turn around into the pit exit. So they had no time to pick up rubber.
And so that's a spa thing. It's like one of the only tracks that you just turn around in the pit exit. There's no formation lap or victory lap, whatever
that
you
makes
call
sense.
It. It was all the cars.
That makes sense.
That's just a spa thing. I found that
I
interesting.
If you're weighed with those tires, that's a couple. I don't know if it's 3.3 pounds, but it's definitely a little bit of weight that could have been added
but
on.
But if you know that that's the way it's going to be at Spa,
you'd think Lewis wasn't underweight.
We're talking numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
I would never consider.
Exactly.
Right?
I think
no other car was underweight.
I'm hoping that it's not Mercedes trying to cheat, but instead it's just them trying to play the system and play a little risky, and it just didn't work. I mean, he was on those tires for a really long time.
He was.
So
let's say they just played the risk right and lost, right? You still can't take away what George did in the race. I'm feeling pretty good. Like, that George might be able to battle with the McLarens, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think so. The other thing with it too, it's like it was bittersweet when the race ended, right, for Lewis, because Lewis drove a phenomenal race, right? He was net P1 the entire race. Even at the end, he was still like, is George's tires going to make it, right? He drove like Mercedes strategy better than anybody else's on that race, that's for sure. But it's kind of bittersweet for Lewis, right? Because he deserved to win the race with how he drove. Mm-hmm. He deserved to win that race, and then he did win under there's a word that's just slipping my mind right now.
But, under a, oh yeah, I'm now I can't think of it either.
Like under,
I'm not gonna try then.
Yeah, that's really gonna bother me, and then I'm gonna learn it. I'm gonna think of it in like 3 minutes, and then it'll all be gone.
Comment on it on the video. at the timestamp.
But for overall, still really good showing for Mercedes. You know, George had no business winning this race.
It is a good showing for Mercedes, but like before we quick depart from Mercedes, it still sucks losing that 1-2 in the constructors. That's big, right?
It's 25 points lost.
That's 25 points lost.
It's 25 points lost.
No, 18 points lost.
18, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, because Lewis picks up the 7. Yeah. But it's 18 points, but
like that would have been a nice chunk to pick up right now.
And we'll get into like the recap of that a little bit later, like where everybody's lays a little bit later. But that 18 points for George would have been huge too. Or the 25 points for George, shall I say.
Ooh, I am curious. Yeah, we'll look at that later. So, I'm curious where he would have been.
Like, it's good and bad for Mercedes, right? You won the race.
It is good. It's good, but it's, I think, for me, and it's good for Lewis, but I think it's, that outweighs the good. Bad outweighs the good for Mercedes this week.
Especially going into summer break. Like, now you got 3 weeks it's 4 weeks? 3 weeks, right?
3 weeks, yeah, three
for
weeks.
For people to just sit and stir on
and you're
this.
You're taking a win into summer. Don't get me wrong. That's better than any other team, right? But it could have been so much better, and that's what sucks.
Yeah.
Somebody lose their job for that.
Yeah. I ended up watching. I had to watch Spa a little late.
Low-level guys. Yeah. Done.
I had to watch Spa a little late, like a little bit later in the day because I was busy in the morning, and I unfortunately got spoiled about George getting disqualified. So like the whole race, I'm like, well, hopefully he doesn't get too high and it's not too bad of a loss. Man.
So you were still surprised.
That was rough. Yeah. Well, yeah, once I got to like lap 35, I was like, oh no.
Dang it. Yeah.
I didn't know why he got disqualified, but I knew he got disqualified. So yeah, that was rough to watch, but.
Well, enough about Mercedes woes and highs and lows, I guess, in that race. We'll move right into McLaren. Oscar finishing P3, but getting the P2 after the Russell DQ. What a race from him. And like I already mentioned, he was charging at the end. I mean, he's showing that, no, he's for real. He can battle with the big boys right now.
Yeah.
He's not scared of it. Like I mentioned, I don't know, a couple episodes ago, like when he's... If he's going into a battle, into a corner, he's not backing out of it. It reminds me a little bit of Ocon, but he succeeds a little bit more with it.
He succeeds
a little bit more with it.
Come on.
He succeeds more with it.
It's not even
Ocon
close
does the same thing,
Ocon.
But he runs into people. The same thing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
It's like what I said in last week's preview. I just think he's really comfortable on this track. He got second place in the sprint last year and just got unlucky at the start with Sainz during the race. I knew he was going to do something this race, and give a few more laps, he catches the Mercedes and he fights them.
He probably
I don't know if he beats them, but he fights them for sure.
Absolutely.
He was quick. I was incredibly happy to see him up there.
Now, not taking away anything from Oscar, but if Lando can figure out how to start a race, it's every race. We know, we've mentioned it before. What is there to do?
It's concerning at this point.
At
this point, he's literally losing races. Because I'm not saying he would have won this race. I don't think.
Not this one
but
specifically,
like,
but.
But he probably would have fought or got a podium. With the way that how quick that McLaren was.
With the Mercedes DQ happened to be a DQ.
What is wrong?
I don't get it.
In the car. Oscar's starting Oscar's almost on like a max level starting right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it's just,
that
back on the Oscar point, though, more like Alonso than Ocon.
I'll give you the start. Alonso's got good starts.
No, I'm just saying in terms of the battle.
Oh, God.
It's Alonso puts the elbows
I'm not
out.
This could be a conversation, but yeah.
No, but
I'll give it to you.
But yeah, no, it's with with Lando, it's like, it's actually concerning because, I mean, like, the last couple of races probably would have won if he would have started better. And then, like, he gets, even this one, he had the space. He's just, he needs to have a little bit more Piastri in him in the start. Because where, like, Lando's getting pushed out and just, like, taking that, Oscar's not. Yeah. He's taking that space.
We're talking about a guy that just last episode we were talking about that could be considered eventually winning a driver championship. And right now it's like, I don't think if he can't get past this, can he even do that?
Yeah, it's just been like a bad
quirk. He lost, three off the start? I think he lost three.
Yeah, he did lose. He lost
the first,
three
like,
positions.
What, three turns or something? Like
yeah. Three positions almost immediately. It's definitely a bad quirk this season. I don't think I've seen it much from him other seasons. It's something he's got to work on. I'll give him a little bit benefit of the doubt. Last race, I think they were saying that I think he was having some like gear changing issues right off the launch in last race. That being said, way too many race starts for it to be just a technical issue. I just think he needs to get better at them.
If it's a technical issue, hire a new technical director.
Yeah, it's
like you're losing races at this point. Yeah. It's not just like race hiccup that he just didn't have a good reaction time, right? Like that's not what it is.
Like, do we have a crystal ball? Is he for sure losing all these races? Like maybe he's definitely losing a couple. We would imagine.
Well,
they're
definitely
losing out on points. Like valuable points.
Yeah, even if it's not even a win, right? It's a podium.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. I mean, I think he could turn it around and actually and still put a fight to Max. But to do that, Oscar's going to have to slow down a little bit.
Well, and that's just it. Like, do you think McLaren's strategy, we talked about it last step, but do you think McLaren's strategy at this point, every race, should be whoever gets Cole's. Speaking of Cole, I forgot to mention that he's not here. As you see, there's three of us. Cole is missing today, so we have no dark web news at all. So no wonder we don't know anything today. Dang, where was I going with that? What was I talking about?
I don't remember. I know we're talking about Norris. I do have a quote on him talking about his starts just right away, and then maybe you can rethink about what we were talking about. So he's quoted saying, some of my starts have not been great. I've lost a good amount of points off the line and now turn one again, easily a podium or even more. There isn't one reason. I was just trying a bit too hard and paying a price for that. I don't know. It's just the fighting right off the line. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't want to say it's like confidence. It's just, I don't know, bad timing sometimes. I hate to say like, you know, he's getting bad luck after all these races, right? It's just
he's becoming more consistent.
Yeah,
there's an American term for it that you don't say in sports. It's a four-letter word and it starts with Y. I'm not gonna say it because I'm a McLaren fan. I'm surprised you're not getting it. Oops, it's more commonly referred in baseball. It's a four-letter word, begins with Y, ends with S. It's the yips.
Oh, the yips. Okay, yeah, no. I'm glad you said that because this would have been a really long episode.
I was just like being silent, trying to figure it out.
But I don't know. It's just so weird.
Before every race?
It's so weird.
I mean, maybe it is starting to affect him. Maybe he's starting to feel a little bit of that pressure. Everybody else, including us, obviously he listens to us. We're talking about him as a potential, you know, world champion someday. And maybe that's starting to actually affect him.
Well, I mean, to be a McLaren fan here, it did come out afterwards that he dealt with the death of his grandmother in the week last week, so that was getting to him all weekend going into the weekend. But again, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and excuse it
because...
Now we
all feel like big jerks.
Well, no, it's not one race that it's happened.
Right.
but, I mean, he still drove... The strategy, again, hurt Lando in this race. Like, they waited long in the first stint, allowed Max to gain some position there, and then when Max pitted, they pitted right after. So they didn't. It's just the strategy is just really, really hurting Lando and McLaren right now. Not saying that it ultimately would have mattered because Lando had the ability to catch Max, and he didn't. Couldn't. He had. You know, he was gaining on him, and he just wasn't able to pass him.
Yeah.
No.
So, and that difference in, you know, it ended up being fourth and fifth. That 3 points, or what is it? Yeah, the 3 points in the grand schemes of where they're at right now and how much they need to, like, he needs to just slowly knock that down. That's going to hurt him.
No, for sure. Joe, any parting thoughts on McLaren since you are a McLaren fan that wears a Mercedes hat?
Definitely, you're right, definitely opposing strategies for Lando. I still think it's not strategy that like made him have a bad race. It was just his driving, unfortunately.
Absolutely. I think the strategy just cost him, you know, fourth versus fifth.
Sure. Ultimately. Yeah.
Or it could have.
So heading into break, then McLaren knows exactly what they need to be looking at fixing.
Yep.
To say the least.
Car's there. It's a rocket ship right now.
But it's been the same. We've been saying the same thing the last few races, all of us up here. It's strategy, strategy, strategy. And they're not changing anything.
Lewis is even trying to compliment the car and getting snarky remarks.
Yeah. I love his response to that, though. Were you even here 7 years ago?
He's such a class act. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Sir Lewis.
Speaking of Lewis, in a way, going to Ferrari next year, but let's head right into Ferrari. That was a horrible segue.
Good segue. Speaking of Lewis, Ferrari,
next year,
such a massive reach. But yeah, Ferrari, though, obviously, obviously a lot today. Charles getting a podium with the DQ of Russell, but he did run a pretty good race. Max was charging on him right there at the end. But he hung on, ended up getting the podium, and then Carlos finishing P6. At least it's better, you know, slightly than recent races. But we're hoping for big upgrades from Ferrari after the break.
You know, he started in P7, with a top eight or top seven of who you're racing against. I mean, it's kind of what you got to. That's good enough, honestly, for Ferrari right now. You know,
it's right where they belong right now. Let's be honest. Yeah. Charles to grab a podium is very impressive.
I would agree with that. But at the end of the day, like Lando and Max.
At the end of the day, take away George's penalty, he dropped three spots from his race start.
Yep,
for sure.
You know,
for
and
sure.
Lewis caught him quick.
For sure.
And Charles had no ability to come back
after having a pull to start with a Max Verstappen penalty. But had a pull nonetheless, and he had a slow start too, kind of. It wasn't that impressive. He led, what, to
no,
lap?
No, he got it.
Did he lead to lap three, and that's when Lewis took it?
Lewis took it right away.
Did he?
I think. Oh, no, Lewis was fighting Sergio right away. Yeah, no.
That was fun.
They were
wheels.
I'm definitely looking forward to talking about that. Yeah.
They had tires bouncing.
Yeah, you're right. Charles did lead for, it was probably three laps or so. And then he led a little bit later again, but.
Took the reins.
It's drop stuff. Yeah.
Was it Charles that led or Carlos led for a little bit?
I think just with pit stops, they both probably led a little bit.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Because Carlos was like, because he wanted to go real. He wanted to go long.
Yeah.
He wanted a one stop.
Yeah. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Leclerc's still leading through lap two. Yeah. It's like lap three that, there it is right there. That Lewis passed him. But anyway, rambling. Yeah, I guess I can agree with you guys. Ferrari's right where they should be, I guess, for now. But hopefully they got something else coming and actually can put a fight to Mercedes or McLaren. But maybe realistically their battle is just, hey, let's just finish in front of Checo right now and, you know, prove that we have a faster car or driver than Red Bull's number two. I don't know.
I think Ferrari can be happy that they finished third.
100%.
They beat Lando.
I agree. And Max.
And Max.
Mm-hmm. And the other Red Bull car. And Checo.
Well, I mean, that should happen.
But you got to throw it in there. It's still a fast car. We've had the conversation all year. If anybody else is in the Checo car, are they doing better? At this point, probably. But that's a conversation. We'll save it when we get to like driver standings and stuff.
Okay, good. I thought you were going the other way with that.
Yeah.
I think Joe could give him a run for his money at this point.
Oh, Logan, buddy,
put me
step
in there.
Up.
Logan.
I hear he's free.
With that, let's head into Red Bull. Max, let's start with Max. Old Maxwell.
Just again, I just read it. He was so fast all weekend long.
Oh, he was great.
It was crazy. I was like, watching qualifying, I was like, no, it's happening.
It's happening.
And still getting a top five, top four. But
yeah, I was worried after seeing that qualifying.
There's
I was
good
like,
cars he's got to climb
Max
through.
Is, I was like, Max
a lot of
is
good drivers that are going to give at least a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
Nah, there was really just one.
Alonso?
No, Lando.
Oh, Lando. Yeah. Lando.
That Aston ain't putting up any fight right now with a Red Bull, dude.
The driver might. You never know.
He might be able to fight as much as he wants. That Red Bull's still going by.
Yeah, at some point. Max might as well just be patient. He'll get his opportunity. But, yeah, Max obviously fast as heck. Gets the P5, or rather P4, after the DQ. And Checo, is that true? Checo ended up getting fastest lap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pitted. Wow. He pit on the second to last lap.
Okay, ended up pulling it.
He got
out.
It the last lap, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Yeah, okay. There's 44 laps in this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Yep. He pit because he was. I mean, it shows him like 35 or so seconds behind whoever's was ahead of him, but that's because he pit. Mm-hmm. He had enough time behind him to not lose any positions. So
fastest lap for Checo. I mean, a somewhat decent finish in comparison to what he's been doing, but he did start P2, and all anybody wanted to talk to him about, geez, after the race was if he has a seat or not, to which he just replied, you know, I don't think I'm going to be responding anymore to any future speculation. Essentially just letting them do their thing. He's just going to continue to focus on racing. And he did pull out the fastest lap. So there's something to be said about that. He needs better.
No, there's not.
He needs better results coming out of summer
break. The top,
break,
I
no
mean,
matter
he was,
what.
He ended up eighth, right?
Seventh after the DQ.
After DQ. So before DQ, the top
eight. He was
eighth,
yeah.
Yeah, the top eight were so far ahead of everyone else. Like, those were the top teams, right?
Sure.
So, like, no, it doesn't say anything that got fastest.
But you're the
lap.
Worst of the best, then.
I would 100% say that's not even debatable.
Well, okay,
at this point.
I'll give him his flowers in that he wasn't racing against, like, the worst teams. And he was racing. Well, no, he was racing. He was in that top eight. That's good, I guess. But he still... He started way higher than where you finished.
And the battle with Lewis was good. I mean, we saw some good stuff from Checo those first couple laps.
It was a 100-meter battle off the race start, and then it wasn't even...
That was so good. I loved watching Checo try to dive in to get behind Leclerc, and Lewis just didn't move. It was so good to see Checo go in and then have to bail out because he's about it. So good.
I really want to know what the closest their tires actually came.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't touch. No,
are you sure?
They didn't touch. They didn't touch, but they had a slow-mo of it. And, I mean, it had to be, like, a 1 or 2 centimeters.
Fit a slice of paper in between.
Yeah,
them.
Dude, it was...
I honestly thought they touched. I could have sworn, but they didn't.
It was real close. But wow. The only thing I was thinking during that is, like, the reaction time of these drivers is just absolutely insane. It's not even, like, the fact that, like, you got somebody that quick and you're not even a thought. You're just doing that little quick adjustment, and they're moving maybe 1-2 feet of actual space.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane, their reaction time and their ability to just stay under control and just... That's why, because Checo had his car lined up. He did the Max Verstappen, where he actually had in the blocks, he was lined up slightly over, so he didn't even have to turn going off the line, and he instantly was going to cut Lewis off.
Sure,
Verstappen
sure.
does it all the time when he's in first. He'll position himself a little bit so he can cut that second driver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wasn't expecting Lewis to be that far up, though. Yeah.
And Lewis's, they had like their reaction time. It was like 0.25 versus 0.29 seconds. The matter of 0.04 seconds is that much
space.
Right
there, yeah. Isn't that insane
to
think
so
about?
Wild.
Is that insane to think
so,
about?
So good.
It's wild.
And then if you're Lando, you're 5 minutes behind everybody else.
Oh, don't say that.
Lando's in the gravel.
Yeah. With that, Red Bull, obviously a lot of speculation going into the break. We'll get into that a little bit later. Moving along, I don't know if we really have much else to say about the Astons, the Alpines, Haas, Williams, or Kick, Sauber. But, I mean, obviously rounding out the top 10, you had Alonso finishing P8. Again, this is after the DQ of George. Alonso finishing P8, Ocon at P9. I mean, that's a good finish for him. And then Danny Ric at that P10. But Danny Ric wasn't in points without the Russell DQ. Is he? We'll
where did Danny Ric
in
start?
We'll get into it. He started.
I got you.
I don't know.
13th. Not bad. 13th. Beat out the Alpines.
Up,
I feel like I saw the Alpines, even though only one of them got into the. Did who else? Did someone else? DNF? No, there's no other DNFs.
Zhou, I thought.
Zhou did, yeah.
He retired
Zhou.
Early.
Yeah, he
but it wasn't, like,
early.
Damage to the car. It was something mechanical.
I didn't even hear it. I just noticed that he was out.
His car went off. He lost power, and then they were able to kick it back on through the steering wheel, but then they just brought him in. Well, actually, he actually ran, like, 2 or 3 laps.
And then they were like,
and then they brought him in.
Retire the car.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess 3 places for Danny, pretty decent.
Yeah, can't complain. Any, before we move on from Belgium, any disappointments, obviously, George, but that we haven't touched on? Any disappointments, any surprises as we kind of head into the break? Something you were looking to see that maybe didn't happen?
This is, we're talking about this later, but like, I wish I would have known Yugi was going to take a 60 place grid penalty before I put him in 10th place. So that's, you know.
And what was that for again? Was that during?
He just replaced a lot of components. All that it was for.
And didn't somebody else have a 50 place or no? That was earlier. It's not
this somebody else. Earlier this, yeah. Somebody this season else. Did, yeah.
Might have even been my boy Gasly, but okay.
But I was surprised with Haas's performance. I figured they were going to do pretty well at this track. You know, they have that top end speed. And, you know, they finished 16th and 17th.
Yeah, pretty much non-existent. Yeah.
It's not what we've seen, but by Nico, especially this year. Nico's been having a heck of a year in that car. So I was really,
Do you think that is then? Do you think everybody's finally starting to catch up and do all their minor adjustments and now they're that much ahead of Haas all of a sudden? When Nico at least had been consistent, even K-Mag was consistently like, I'd say 10th or 13th for a minute. I mean, it was almost pretty consistent.
I don't know. It's weird because it's like, are they just not bringing the upgrades as much as these other teams, or are we all just wrong and this car is better on low speed corners in those tracks? Because that's where they've been performing well.
I think Haas brings their upgrades at the start of the year and then they just start to kind of plateau through the rest.
Oh, yeah.
Because they might already be getting ready for next year, to be honest.
2026.
Yeah.
You think so? Just mailing it in?
I mean, if they don't have the money, like, they gotta start allocating where they can. But hopefully that we see them have some better races, but like, I think it follows trend, I think, for the last 2 years, that once we hit the break, they start to kind of, you know, lose a bit of speed.
Which sucks, because they really, and we'll touch on it in a minute, but they had a chance to finish either tied for as high as they've ever finished or the highest they've ever finished before in the driver standings, and yeah, if they continue on that trend, then it's pretty much over.
Yeah,
for Haas. But I guess one other thing to touch on before we move on from Belgium is just Aston Alonso. Also, you're saying ran a one stop race. Yeah.
So all the rave was, you know, Russell running that one stop. Which, I mean, the strategy when, like, Mercedes said, it was like, they were going to be slated P5 if he stopped, or take the chance at the one stop and finish P5 with the tire deck just bringing you back. So it was worth it at that point. But Alonso had a one stop, started P8, finished P8 after the max DQ, but you didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Like, Alonso drove really a heck of a race to say that Aston's not quick.
No. closing question then off of that. Does who your driver is matter, or help determine if you want to try a one-stop or not? Like, you got to trust that driver that, hey, those tires are going to be rough at the end. Like, we got to make sure that driver can handle that. Does that come into a factor, you think, at all for any of these teams? A guy like Alonso, like, yeah, we can trust him to go drive the freaking car. You know what I mean?
I think definitely,
like a guy
yes.
Like Logan, no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think yes and no. So I was watching the post-race show, and there's like a person who used to be on Alpine Strategy. Her name's Ruth something. And she was saying, like, the bench line to do it is they actually measure tire deg. There's a rating. There's like a, it's measurable during the race. And if you're at 0.055, then that shows that you have the pace and you can do it to go the full race. And if you're at like, it's, and then I think it's just 0.05 increments from there. So everybody was at like 0.1. And George showed he was at that 0.055 so he could do it. So it's like that's super technical.
That's insane.
It's cool. Yeah, like it listening. Really cool. So she's on the commentary throughout the race as well. But what she's brought to that like broadcast, I don't know. I watch a lot of the post race shows too because they do driver interviews.
Is it Bernie Collins?
No, her name's Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
It's Ruth. I can't. It's like maybe McGrath.
Okay.
But it's she's like she was a strategist for the Alpine team.
Okay.
So she worked with Fernando. I don't know. I mean, I don't need to sit here and gas her up, but it's just cool to bring, like, she has like the strategy behind like everything. And it was cool because in that, Carlos actually came up and was on the booth with them.
Yeah.
And she has a card that has like the specs or whatever. There's a term for it. I don't remember what it is. It's something sheet. And Carlos immediately came up and grabbed it. Pretty sure looking at that tire deg, and because he wanted a one stop. He actually said it during it, and he's like, he was kind of like low-key upset because he's like, well, I mean, obviously we could have done it. And but he grabbed that sheet, and you can see it all on the show. And then Will Buxton actually made a comment on it.
Huh. Okay. What was the comment?
We're just saying like Carlos grabbed, he like
oh,
literally he, like.
Oh, commented that Carlos.
And then he made a comment saying that he was going to Oxfordshire, which means he would either go to LP, or it was Williams or one of the other teams. I don't know if it was Oxfordshire because that's actually where Aston is. But it's wherever Williams is headquartered. There's another team like in that area. But Buxton was like predicting he was going to Williams because they were making the JV, the James Vowles connection. Because he's a strategist. That's not the principal.
And Vowles ended up saying, what was it, a number of weeks ago that they were taking Carlos pretty serious and that they weren't didn't want to just be a stepping stone, but they did want Carlos bad.
Yeah.
So it is it will be an interesting marriage, as we'll call it, between Carlos and Williams, and see if that plays out. With that, let's roll right into our constructors and drivers standings update. And obviously rolling into, there I am with obviously again, but heading right into the constructors standings update, I'll throw it over to Tyler actually to kind of give us the rundown.
All right, so we're going to start with the constructors. So as everybody would predict, Red Bull is currently leading in that. However, they're not as far up as people might think. McLaren has definitely broken down that gap. They even chipped away at it this weekend with Oscar taking that P2. Really, really helped in the long run. They're only 42 points behind Red Bull at this point. That might seem like a big number, but we got half the season left. So that 42 points, you got Oscar and Lando grabbing podiums, even if Max is winning. They're still grabbing 8-9 points every weekend if Checo's not, you know, doing what he should be, per se. So that could be dwindled down in 5-6 races. We could have like a 5-7 point differential there. So that's going to get real juicy. And then McLaren's kind of taking a step up on Ferrari as well. Ferrari's currently in third. They're 21 points behind McLaren yet. So that's really not much of a fight anymore. I don't see Ferrari closing that gap at all. They're going to be lucky to hold on to Mercedes behind them. They've closed the gap exponentially, right? They're only 79 points behind them at this point, which again seems like a lot.
Missing out of that 18 too.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, you're talking they're 60. Well, they're 60 points behind them, right? 61 points. That's huge at the end of the season.
And they are
consistently
in front of Ferrari right now and battling McLaren. Like they could put their name in the ring. I don't know if they can catch Red Bull, but they could at least lock up third.
They're not going to catch Red Bull. I think Max is just going to continue to grab too many spots up there, and he's still going to grab some wins, which Mercedes very well might as well. But right, if you got McLaren and Mercedes and Max fighting, that's the top five spots taken up right there.
Right.
Then you got Checo versus the Ferraris, right? How much of a gap is there between those is really going to tell the difference between Ferrari and Mercedes here.
That's a good point. Checo versus the Ferraris. I mean, that's kind of the battle to look at coming out of break.
That's ultimately what it's coming down to. It's McLaren versus Red Bull. McLaren versus Max.
Yeah.
So it's Max is the only one that's going to grab the constructors for Red Bull this year. From there, it's just a battle really for sixth, right? Aston's at 73 points. So they're 193 points behind Mercedes. That's obviously not going to get closed. So the top four is pretty locked up. And then you have the Racing Bulls at 39. They're 34 points behind Aston. I don't think Racing Bulls versus Alonso, I don't think there's going to be enough ahead there.
Stroll's been too consistent in getting points lately that in comparison to like Yuki and Danny Ric, they keep swapping, but Stroll and Alonso are getting points. Like they just keep chipping away. I agree. Racing Bulls won't catch them.
Yeah, I really don't think so. But this is where it gets real interesting. You got Racing Bulls and Haas, right? So Haas is at 27 points. They're 7 points behind Racing Bulls. If what you said is true, Joe, Haas should be lucky to hold that 7th spot, which would be the highest they've ever finished in the constructors.
7th would be the highest.
It'd be tied, if I'm not mistaken, right? So if they were to grab that 6th spot from Racing Bulls, that would be the highest they've ever finished. So I really don't see that. I think Racing Bulls is going to just have too much consistency with the smaller upgrades they're going to bring throughout the year to kind of match that Red Bull team as they said they were going to this year, which has proven true, right? The Racing Bulls have been quick in the midfield this year.
You would hope to see some more upgrades come from Haas.
They have to.
But
Then from there, it's really wide open between the last three teams, really the two of the last three. You got Alpine at 11 points. They're 16 points behind Haas. Alpine's been very consistent the last couple of weeks, but Nico's just been too good to I think, close that gap. And then Williams at 4 points. They had another, you know, showing for Williams. I don't think with Logan in that car, they're going to finish better than P8, even if they were to catch the Alpines at this point. Alpine seemed to have kind of kicked it in a little bit of gear the last couple of races.
Yeah.
Ever since they got underweight, then they seem to be doing pretty darn good. And then Sauber, they're not scoring any points this year. They're still at zero.
I think Bottas could get a point or something.
They won't finish the year with no points. It just won't happen. There'll be a race where something happens, right? But yeah, that's the constructors. So really it comes down to the top four teams are locked up. But how those top four finish, I think one and two are solidified, Red Bull and McLaren. But that battle between Ferrari and Mercedes, nobody would have thought this at the start of the year with how the year was 100%. Looking.
No way. People were thinking
Ferrari was going to get Red Bull run for the money.
Right.
And Ferrari to be able to hold on to third
can't even
right
touch
now.
McLaren most likely. It's just wild to think how things have shifted this year. I've never seen a shift like this.
Yeah, it's wild.
Usually you have your top three or so, and then there's the kind of the mid pack, you know, the best of the rest type deal, and then you got your bottom tier. But this is just completely flipped.
We've definitely seen teams, you know, like the Aston Martins or the Mercedes, where like you'll be good in one half of the year and then you'll come back in the other half. But there's a lot of that happening just across like everyone. So I think like early prediction, I think Merck's going to beat Ferrari probably. I think they're going to catch up. Just the pace that they've been showing and the consistency for the last three races, I would imagine that consistency shouldn't go away.
Well, yeah, the thing about it, it's like as Mercedes has gone up, Ferrari's gone down.
Yeah.
It's not even that Ferrari's staying stagnant.
Yep.
No.
Right?
They're definitely consistently finishing behind the Mercedes.
I think top four, like you said, absolutely locked. Like, no one's breaching that top four.
No, I agree. Other than who's there. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And then Aston's kind of on their island, and then the race between Racing Bulls and Haas. Yep.
I think that's going to be fun.
I think it'll be interesting. Because
it's like Yuki's been... I want to say consistent, but he hasn't been. He was, and then it kind of seems like Danny Ric's kind of coming over a little bit, and then Hulk was doing great, and now Hulk's 16th.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be fun,
battle. Haas is going to have to really dig deep if they want to catch Racing Bulls, straight up.
That midfield battle is always just so fun to watch, though. You got these lower teams. It just creates like excitement across the levels in F1. That's what I love so much about F1. There's just so much to root for, right?
I 100% agree with you. Unfortunately, because the top teams are also fighting a lot, it's so hard to focus on anything else during the race. So I have to make notes, or like I have to keep notes, obviously, during the race, but also go back and check to see how the other teams are doing because I'm so focused on, you know, Red Bull, McLaren, and Ferrari, and Mercedes, obviously. So, yeah.
For sure.
Hopefully still a lot of good fighting to happen. It'd be really bad if... I think I would still be upset, even though obviously I want McLaren to do well. I'd be upset if they just took it the rest of the season and just, like, win after win after win after win.
You would be upset about that?
Maybe a little.
I'm just saying, win after win after win after win.
Like, they just showed, like... A sudden, well, maybe I wouldn't be upset, actually. I don't know. I don't want to see one person dominating again.
No, I get that. Like Max Verstappen.
I don't think we're going to get that with how these cars are right now.
I don't think so, either.
I think they're just too equal across the board. Yeah. Well, they're not equal, but they're too, like, close. The gap between the cars themselves has closed so much.
Mm-hmm.
At least between the top three.
Yeah, and even if
Ferraris
you have like
whatever,
even if the top three cars are like the exact same in terms of performance, you still have track preferences to them and stuff like that.
For sure. With the cars and the drivers. Why don't you take it away with the drivers too?
All right, from there we're gonna hop into the drivers. That gets a lot more. Well, I wouldn't say it actually gets a little bit more dicey because there's good battles in the constructors right now. But we have everybody's favorite driver, Max Verstappen, leading the race right now. as expected, you know, he's shown that the last 3 years, but he's at 277 points. Lando is in second at 199, so he is still 78 points behind Verstappen. So if they would have swapped places this race, it would have been 75. Not a huge difference, but 3 points at the end of the year could really matter right now. And it's going to be fun to watch those two battle the rest of the year. It really is. I would like to think that Lando can catch him, but I just don't know if that's possible without McLaren having the Red Bull strategy of if Piastri's up there, swapping him and getting those 7 points.
Mm.
You know, if it's a 1-2 again, I don't know if McLaren would do that to Oscar. And I think that might cost Lando the WDC this year. But at the end of the day, if that's what's going to cost you, you can't beat the driver in your, you can't beat the driver that's equivalent in your car. Yeah. If it comes down to that, right? Now, I mean, that could be one or two races, and then that's 14 points, which is huge. I mean, that takes a 78-point gap down to 64.
Yeah, I think after what we saw last race, I would hope, not because Oscar's got his win, now he can get back in his place, not saying that at all, but because of just how awkward that situation was, I'm hoping if we get to the situation where Lando is so close, Oscar would just understand. And as long as the team is guaranteeing him third then over Leclerc, you know, let it happen, right?
Even so, even if you're not even guaranteed third, I think Oscar, like, there's...
It just seems like he'd be the person as to a
team,
do it.
I think he would. I think really any teammate would in that situation, to be honest. Unless you're... I think, I don't know. I mean, is Max ever going to be in that spot as the second driver? I don't think he ever will be.
Like, probably not. Hungary 2 years ago, Max refused to help Checo take... He refused to give him the win to help him get second place that season, so...
Which was... Bogus, but
super bogus.
Because of what Checo's done for that guy.
Super bogus. I don't see that ever happening between Oscar and Lando unless something crazy happens. You know, more so than last race. I would just hope. I don't want to see him in that position, but they're both really good drivers. They have a really fast car. They're going to be in that position again.
My issue is I don't think Lando will catch Max. I seriously don't. And I think that's only because, like, let's say... If Max wins four races, Lando's going to win two, and then you're going to have, like, Lewis or George winning one apiece, or Oscar in there winning one apiece. You know what I mean? Like, you got Max over here by himself winning the four, but then you got another four races, but those are going to be chopped up between a couple of drivers. I think Lando is the best of the rest as far as those other drivers go, as far as getting maybe an extra win or two above the other guys, but I don't think it'll be enough to actually catch Max. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where I would agree with you too, man. It's like, because you're right. It's like, so for Lando to win this WDC, he not only has to finish above Max in the bulk of the races, he has to win more races than Max. Like, it has
and
to
everybody
it,
else.
It's going to come down to not even necessarily everybody else, right? If Lando were to grab three, Max grabs one, that's a different story if there's so much spread across the rest of them. But it's like, I think that's what it's going to come down to is Lando has to win more races than Max. Max is going to be top five.
I think he needs.
I looked it up really quick. This was before Spa. So they're at 78 points. When they were at 76, if Lando would have gotten first and Max gotten second for every race for the rest of the season, Lando would win by 1 point. So just to put it into perspective. Okay. Lando just needs to keep...
So he would lose,
actually,
in this situation because the gap grew.
Yes, he grew. So now he would have to... Max would have to drop down some places.
Max would have to finish, like, third one or two
races. Yeah,
exactly. At this point, could legitimately happen.
But that's saying Lando's going to win every single race.
Lando still needs Max points, right? He still needs 25 points.
That's what I mean. There's, even if he did, there's going to be a couple that somebody else is going to win, whether it's
George,
Lewis, Oscar, whatever.
There's no way it's Max Verstappen and Lando Norris winning every race the rest of the year. There's way too much disparity. For they haven't won the last three.
Mm-hmm. God, if it comes down to the last couple races, though, boy, that'd be a treat.
I would love to see a Verstappen-Hamilton battle between Norris and Verstappen at the end of this year. I would love
to
see that.
Just not a repeat of Abu Dhabi.
But no, not like, we can't let the stewards decide the race. Let's let them battle it out on track.
I can't even think about that.
But I would just love to see that kind of battle.
That's too good to be true.
Would happen, like, what happened to... What was given to Max was given to Lando. Oh, man, that would crush me. Just thinking that Lando may have gotten the win on the steward call.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's like...
I might have to hang up the hats. I'm being real.
up the hats.
But let's move forward here. We got the third place. Who's in third right now, that would be Charles Leclerc. He is at 177 points, 22 points behind Lando. No way he catches him the rest of this year unless a Ferrari brings the biggest upgrade you've ever seen in your life. I think the real battle there is going to be between Oscar and Leclerc. So Oscar is 10 points behind Leclerc right now.
He will pass Leclerc.
I think Oscar's going to pass him pretty substantially. He's going to lock in that third spot. I don't think he's not going to catch Lando at this point. I mean, he's 32 points behind Lando. I just don't see that happening. And then you have Carlos coming in at fifth, 5 points behind Oscar. That's going to stay right there. If anything, I think Carlos is going to drop behind Lewis, who is 12 points behind him right now.
I think he absolutely will drop below Lewis. I think Lewis is way too consistent. I don't think Lewis can catch Oscar. But, I mean, hey, if Lewis starts winning, who knows? Who knows how far Leclerc will drop, actually, legitimately?
That's the thing. Leclerc needs to keep qualifying really, really, really darn good, which he's good at.
Which he's good at.
He's good at, but he needs to qualify 1, 2, or 3 to be able to fight for 5th at this point, I would say. I think
that's kind of where it stops, right? You got 1 and 2, and then kind of 3 through 6 is kind of... I don't know if Lewis would get as high as 3rd. Oscar would
I don't think so.
I think Lewis could get as high as 4.
I think depending on what happens
with Ferrari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what changes this exponentially is taking 25 points away from George. If George gets those 25 points, that would put him at 151. He would actually, because then take 7 points away from Lewis. George would actually be in 6th right now. Lewis would be in 7th, and Checo would be in 8th.
Are you sure? I don't know if that math is mathing. 25 plus 116?
25 and 16 is 41. I gave him 10.
Okay.
So George would be in but front be of
right
Checo.
But he'd be right behind Lewis.
He'd be ahead of Checo, and he would be 2 points in front of behind Lewis.
Yeah. God, that's a big,
that math does a, check out. That, I did it twice yeah, in my head.
That's a big God, that hurts, man. That hurts.
And then you got Checo at 7th, George at 8th. Checo is 19 points behind Lewis at this point. George is 15 points behind Checo. I think George is closing that gap. Checo finishes P8 this year in the constructors.
Checo was staring at WEC. P8 heading into the summer break before DQ. He was staring at it.
He was, yep. And then it drops off substantially from there, right? You got the two Astons. You got Fernando and Stroll. At that point, it really doesn't matter. The only thing that's worth noting is that Racing Bulls battle. You got Yuki, who's 10 points ahead of D-Rick right now.
Really?
Yep. He's 10. It's 22 versus 12. That that's a pretty big gap for a team that, you know, a driver that might grab 3 points in a week at best.
Yep. They kind of switched spots. Danny Rick was doing better for a second.
Yep.
You know, that is interesting. I thought that would be a little bit closer than it is.
Yuki
honestly
was able to grab a couple P8s this year. Yeah. You know, that got him
that's
5 points or was it 6 points? Whatever that is, versus 1 point where Danny's grabbing tenths.
Yeah. For sure. But
That's what we have for the drivers. Nothing else worth noting. The only thing I would say is, you know, Nico is still P11 or in 11th right now, only 2 points behind Stroll. So sure. Nico's having a heck of a year.
Come on, Nico.
Come on.
Please.
Come on, Nico and Haas. Please.
You did let me down on my 2 bonus points this week, though, Nico. I won't forget that.
What are you going
to
do?
Gotta give us something to talk about. All right, with that, let's head right into our news. And starting off the news right off the bat, fresh off the press this morning. Carlos signs to Williams.
It's finally over.
It's over.
We figured it out. I'm disappointed.
Well, we didn't figure anything out.
No, yeah.
But, yeah,
well,
no.
I mean, yeah.
But Logan is out. We already knew that. But yeah. Carlos going to Indy. Williams.
Coming to America.
Again, I think he'll succeed there. We'll do a Logan update next year's
that
pod.
That sounds nice.
For all our Logan fans out there. We'll talk about Grosjean. Anyway, let's move on. All right, but Carlos Williams, yep, awesome stuff. For me, I think this also, we'll talk about it obviously in a couple minutes here. I think this solidifies Antonelli, but I think it also gives Mercedes kind of some insurance with the Antonelli decision if they want to, where they could just swap him.
Yeah.
If he does really poorly.
I don't know. I feel like that could 100% be the case for Red Bull. I just don't know if that's a thing Mercedes would do. I think they would quickly go.
Williams saying they're not a stepping stone, right?
I think they would quickly replace Antonelli with Mick before pulling Sainz from Williams.
Okay.
As I kind of said right off the bat, little disappointed Sainz chose Williams. I just don't know what the exact move. I don't know what the exact thought process is.
Over Alpine, over stake.
Yeah, I think current stake, not a great option. Future Audi, though, I mean, that's kind of what I was hoping for.
Sure.
Seeing what Williams, he mentioned in his breaking news blurb that he was excited to help bring the team back to its it's like you know, it's legendary status. It's not going to happen.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid already. It's not even in the building.
I mean, I think James Fowles. Yeah, I mean, you have to, right? You're coping. Anyway, I think James Fowles is going to help the team do better, but it's not going to become a winning team because you have signs. And Albon. I think they're both great drivers. I think they're going to be fighting for point. I just don't know how much after that. And I don't know what comes after Williams for him. He's there when regs change.
Do you think Williams could, with the two drivers they have, could they put the fight to Aston like next season for like that P8 to P10 area, like consistently?
I think they'll have good races and bad races, but I don't think at the end of the season it'll matter.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. Carlos Williams, probably the biggest news.
I am looking to see, because we know how Carlos drives. I'm looking to see how Albon does compared to him. That's kind of how I'll finish that off.
Same car.
Yeah. I don't agree at all.
No?
Yeah. I think the only spot that's better for him right now, currently in the current state of everything, is Mercedes, and that's not a possibility for him. That's
not going to happen. Right.
So I think the Williams being the junior team for Mercedes, I don't think I can buy into that anymore.
They definitely don't sell themselves.
Right, but it's Bottas to Mercedes, Russell to Mercedes, right? As much as they don't sell it, it's what's happened. But I think that ultimately comes down to like how much influence or say did Mercedes have in putting them in that Williams seat for them to be their future driver. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. So I think that
it... First thing I thought about, but...
Williams got the best situation they could ever ask for. They got the best driver on the grid that's available. I mean, I think we would all agree that Carlos Sainz is a lot better driver than Alex Albon.
I would agree with that.
I would say right now, yes. Again, I'm looking forward to seeing them drive like in the same car.
Yeah. So I think that with you're not going to get any performance whatsoever out of Logan. You're adding a driver that's going to compete. It's going to give you more points that you would only logistically think than Albon, right? I think you're making Williams. I think Williams is going to fight with Aston next year, unless if Aston brings some huge development, whatever. But I mean, even for science, from a science perspective, I think that Williams has the most money to pay him, and for the 2 years out of anybody that's available. I don't know if Alpine's going to fork that over. I don't think Alpine's very attractive right now because Alpine doesn't know who their engine manufacturer is going to be. There's talks of Alpine actually sourcing an engine and like talking to the other engine manufacturers. So
please,
if you're a driver going into new regulations,
please do that.
But if you're a driver going into a market that with new regulations, you don't want to take that chance. You're a proven driver. At the end of the day, after his 2 year contract, he's trying to get back into a big team.
You think that's a fact? That was a factor.
I think it was a huge factor,
knowing that they have no idea who their engine's going
to
be.
And then you look at who's left. You got Sauber. He's not going to VCarb. That was never a possibility. It's just not a thing, right? Yep. So you got Sauber.
No.
Sauber is zero. They're not even close to competing for anything right now. Yeah, the Audi takeover, that's not for 2 years.
Yep.
And then
they got one more year of this.
And even then, just because Audi takes over, that does not propel them to P10.
You're hoping Audi can do something crazy with these new regulations.
We have no idea.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's such an unknown. They might have been able to pay him more, but I don't think Audi, like, as a... You can't think that Audi's going to come in and take over F1 and put that car in a championship spot from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen, right? Yep. So in the end game, Carlos, it was a good 2-year deal. The driver market opens up a lot in the next couple of years. Lewis is going to retire.
It does. Yeah, it does. We're going to have another crazy year.
We'll see what
years.
Happens with Mercedes. Mm-hmm. If Kimi's the future, great. You got Kimi and Russell for as long as you want them. Mm-hmm. Unless...
Literally.
Max wants to leave Red Bull because that car's not performing anymore, wants to come somewhere. So a Red Bull seat opens up. Checo ain't going to be there forever. Carlos is in a really good freaking spot right now. Of all the midfield cars available, I'd probably pick Williams. I'd pick Williams. You're not going to VCarb, right? I'd probably go to VCarb just because of the progress they've made in showing the Red Bull's little sister now, or little brother, whatever you want to do. It's, you know, so...
Even when they were AlphaTauri, they weren't horrible.
No, but they made the commitment that they're actually going to invest more into it, and that's shown this year in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way I'm going to Sauber. I'm not taking the risk of Audi, unless you just simply want the money, because they'll give you that.
Right.
And I don't think that's the thing for Carlos at this point. He's been driving for Ferrari for how many years? He's making enough money.
Yeah, for sure.
So where are you going to go? I'm not going to... If Alpine was had an engine that was super consistent and they're going to commit to it to the future... I think Alpine would probably be the most enticing spot because they've always shown they're at that towards the mid level.
That was my only argument would be Alpine, but
Alpine without an engine future, right, you don't know what you're going to do. That engine's not working. It hasn't worked in years, and it was that engine hasn't been productive since it was running the Red Bull that Sebastian won four championships with.
Which is a 2013 was the last one for Vettel.
That was like, in the past. Golly.
So I have a single counterpoint. Checo seat before he signed the deal. Why wouldn't he have taken that?
That's in my head. It was Carlos to Red Bull, and that was the only way it was, right? Mm-hmm. That's mind-boggling to me because there's no way Williams is paying him more than that Red Bull is offering.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Do you think it was just like a time thing? Like he said, no, I'm waiting for better options. And then hearing you going through it, I agree with you. I think of the options available, Williams is definitely the safest, right? And especially if they're able to give him the money that he wants. Sure. Yeah. Sauber is not good right now. Alpine is unpredictable. And then the other seats are just kind of unviable.
It's gotta be money.
But yeah, that Red Bull seat that was open and Red Bull stating that they couldn't match what he wanted.
Yeah.
It's just like, is the bag good at Williams?
I don't think they couldn't. I think they didn't want to.
I don't know. I mean, because they're paying Verstappen a lot of money.
They did.
Like, that's what's mind-boggling to me. Or do you think this comes down to, does Carlos not want to be a number two driver anymore?
And he made that, and they don't want that battle.
He ain't
going to
be the number one at Red Bull.
They don't want that battle going on.
He's not
going
to be the number one at Red Bull, Mercedes.
Yeah.
He's not, he doesn't have a chance at Ferrari. That's taken from him.
Is he automatically the number one at Williams next year?
Yeah,
do they treat him like that?
Oh, I have to.
Ooh. I actually don't know. Albon has it's not seniority. He has, he has history there now.
Right? Yeah, his tenureship.
Tenure. That's the word I was looking for. I feel like until we see the first few races,
so do
they're
people
just,
in everyday life, but they still get screwed over with their tenure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's Carlos Sainz, dude. He's the number one driver on the market. You have to
I don't think
he comes there without that. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a promise, right? You think just his driving skill would propel him to that number one regardless? Where Leclerc is clearly the number one at Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, Ferrari doesn't matter because it's out of the equation. Leclerc ain't going to be the number one next year, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, just kind of going off what you said again, Williams, I don't see any flaw with them taking Carlos. They won.
Right.
They got what they wanted. They got what everyone should have wanted. And yeah, so they won. It's just kind of thinking from, again, Sainz's point of view, it's just a little weird.
Yeah, but the Red Bull point you brought, that's something that's gonna I don't understand.
Yep.
I don't understand that. Unless if like it's nobody wants to be Verstappen's teammate.
Which is absolutely a thought. Yeah. It's gotta be a thought. Who has he worked well with, actually, Max?
Danny.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so.
No. At first.
I feel like they were really good friends. I think it got to the same point where they were good. I think Max was still getting to being the best. And he was kind of crossing that threshold into being the number one driver with Danny. And I don't think Danny could hack it and wanted to accept that. And so he moved.
100%.
But I don't think they had a bad relationship. I still think they like each other a lot.
I think it's just
on track. Max is Max. So
that's what it comes down to. I think off the track, I don't think there's a problem with Verstappen. It's on the track and his antics on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Because even you look at, like, they had I can't remember the track. It might have been even Monaco, where they ran into each other.
Yep, it was Monaco. It was Monaco. It was either Monaco or Baku. I can't remember.
It was a street track, yeah. I know. But it was like, that was kind of the demise of that team.
Yeah.
Not the team, Red Bull. It was Danny and
Verstappen. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, when Max started heating up.
He pushed him out. Moving right along, though. Got to keep him moving. Another seat locked down. Ocon to Haas. Obviously, Oliver Bierman in the other seat, who is actually currently 15th in F2 standings. I don't know if that should be a concern for Haas or not. But Haas looking a little bit different next year.
Yeah, full team swap. Last time we saw that was, Mick and...
Mazespin.
Yeah, that we all know how that ended. And then we got two vets in the seat and they did they did better, right?
Yeah.
Probably maybe even as best as they could have done. I think it's good that they have someone with experience driving an F1 car in the seat with new blood. I definitely don't think they're ever going to make the mistake of getting two new drivers again. Just so incredibly expensive.
Behrman also almost got out of F1 because of that.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. They cut a lot of stuff after.
Seriously. Yeah. Behrman in 15th. I think we're obviously going to see some mistakes starting out. I'm not too worried. You know, let's see what he can do when he gets into the seat itself. Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do, I guess, but I don't know if they really should be concerned at the moment.
Sure, fair enough.
Maybe not as concerned as Ocon. I don't know what Ocon's going to do when he gets to Haas.
Yeah, I don't think they should be concerned about it. He's proven what he can do when he's in an F1 car in an F1 race. Granted,
for sure.
Best car in the grid, or one of the best cars in the grid at the time. But he gained four places.
Yeah. No, he did a great P7, race. No, so. Great showing.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think you should be concerned. I think you should be concerned more about Ocon being the teammate that's like the big brother.
For sure. For sure.
That's a mistake I think they made.
I would agree with. Well, but who else? Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm curious how Ocon will accept that role.
Yeah,
you
same.
Know, can he actually accept that role, or is he not going to really care? You
right.
know, not that he has to baby Oliver, but you know, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Bruno Famin will no longer be team principal at Alpine after the summer. Not the most massive news. Probably something we all kind of expected coming anyway. Because at some point, somewhere, you got to start making changes. Everywhere, and
he's also
and
not
started.
Supposed to be principal. Like he had to take over for Otmar.
Like
mid-season That's a few right. seasons ago. So he's not leaving the team. He's just going back to his old role. So sure. you know, I think it's expected.
Who cares?
We'll see if it makes a difference. But I don't know. We got rumors of not even secret meetings because it was caught on video, but Horner and the V-Car principal, we got Danny Rick. Just Tyler, tell us what's going on with the Checo seat. Just the whole Red Bull stuff heading into summer break here.
Yeah, so immediately after the race, there was a meeting with Horner Meckes, which is the Racing Bulls team principal, and Danny Rick. Everybody was smiles, shook hands. Danny Rick was all gippity-gippity getting out of there, right? So everybody was thinking, oh, Danny Rick's going to Red Bull. Nope. They had their meeting this morning. Marco and Horner and, you know, the brass at Red Bull sat down. And Horner came out afterwards and committed to Checo. In quote, he said, Checo remains a Red Bull racing driver despite recent speculation. And we look forward to seeing him perform at the tracks he has previously excelled at after the summer break. So silly season has kind of started to... kind of like, all right, we're going to settle down. Carlos is signed, Ocon signed, Checo's staying. So, but I think what it does solidify, I'm glad that like all that speculation is gone. I hated hearing about it. I think it was just overrunning the media with how good the F1 season has been. There's just been way too much drama that's taken away from the performance of the season.
Yeah.
So with Carlos being gone, Checo rumors put to a squash, there's three spots left that are pretty undesirable. So it's like, I think we're in a good place. But what I think it does do is I think it solidifies Danny Rick as that V-carb driver for the rest of the year.
Rest of this season, at least. Yeah, for sure. You don't think so?
No, I think for the rest of this year, yes. But if I may put on my tinfoil hat for a moment.
Go for it.
Red Bull announces Danny Rick to replace Checo next year. Maybe even during the summer break.
So Horner's going to come out, back up his driver, but you're thinking that maybe still during the summer break that they announce that
during
the
summer break,
2025.
During the summer break, probably not going to happen. Again, very tinfoil hat moment.
Sure.
But Checo being replaced, still not out of the cards. So, yes, it's good to know right now that he has a seat after. Drama's not going to stop.
And that's why I still count the V-card seat still being open. Because, like, yeah, Checo would probably, you'd think, would slide into that V-card, but do they somehow... still pay Checo, whatever, void the deal and put somebody else in the V-car next year.
I think at this point, if this is kind of a situation that I'm hoping to happen, but if it comes down to Checo being replaced, I would like to see Liam Lawson take Danny Rick's spot and Checo become a reserve.
I would agree with you. And I, to be honest with you, I think that's how it would play out. I think if Checo's removed from the Red Bull seat, then he has no business being on the V car because that's Racing Bulls,
sure.
Whatever. I don't care. Whatever they go by. You know, that's not a team designed for a Checo. It's not a team designed for a Danny Rick.
Yeah.
So
for
it's
sure
like,
not.
So
no,
I think Danny Rick's not going to be on Racing Bull next year. I don't see that. And I think it would be a huge, huge disservice to see what we have in Liam Lawson not putting him in a seat next year. I think that guy, I mean, what he showed last year when he took over for Danny Rick when he got hurt, like that kid has some speed and he has some promise, and I want to see him in an F1 car every race.
Well, and that brings us into the last part of the news here is talking about those remaining seats, and we'll just start with that V-carb and lock that up. We're thinking that Liam's in the seat no matter what. It's interesting that you mentioned Checo as a reserve driver. Do you think Checo can accept that role?
I don't think he'll have a choice.
To stay close, you know, to F1. That's what I mean.
Can he, I mean, will he be happy about it? Of course not. Can he accept it? He's going to have to. I mean, we also have to think of that Checo bringing in a lot of money, just in like how he got into F1 and also the Mexico market as well. I think this is really important to Red Bull.
For sure.
But yeah, I just don't see, like you said, V-carb is not a spot for, it's not a spot for vets. It's a spot for up and comers to be put into the Red Bull. Marco has said that himself. Like it's just, I just don't think it would be a smart move. It'd be an easy move to swap them, right? Because it's less paperwork maybe. And it's, I guess, less messy because you're not putting, you know, a driver in the top car on the grid into reserve, which is insane. But at the same time, man, Liam,
given the circumstances.
You know, yeah, given the circumstances, he just hasn't been performing. So, yeah, it doesn't matter if he can't accept it. He's going to have to, like, he doesn't
at some point.
His only weight is what's in his contract, you know, and if his contract says that they can do that, then they can do it.
Right, right.
Yeah, he could walk away, but you're walking away from a lot of millions.
Yeah, right, they're still going to pay him if he's in reserve for Red Bull. Like, he's still a spokesperson for him. They're still going to pay him.
Okay, so we got the V-carb seat locked up. Let's hypothetically say, right? We got Liam in the V-carb seat. Let's say we got...
Next year.
This is next season we're talking about. But a lot of this news could come out in the next 3 weeks. Let's say we got Antonelli locked up in the Mercedes seat. You know, that's been the rumor all year.
Do you guys think there's any other chance? Anybody else?
Let me get to that, because I am curious about that, too. And then we got Alpine seat, who'll be Gasly's partner there. Then we got a stake seat still open. So we just kind of made a list of drivers, and then let's circle back to Mercedes. The drivers that we currently have on the list, anyway. Current drivers, you got Bottas. You know, he's still available as a possible option for a seat. Joe's probably done. Logan's going to Indy. K-Mag, probably done. I don't think there's enough there that, you know, maybe he can make a shot at a reserve driver, but I honestly don't see it. He's probably done. Danny Rick, we're thinking could be in a Red Bull next year. And then you got Antonelli, obviously. Jack Doohan waiting for his chance. You know, Mick will probably get another opportunity just because of his last name and was kind of thrown into a bad situation. The rumor of Vettel is always going to be around. Four-time champ, obviously, but he is 37 years old. Unretired for the Senna tribute, but obviously kind of a joke. Nick DeVries, will he ever get another shot?
Why is he on this list?
I had to throw him on there, man.
Why?
Had to.
That dude couldn't perform in an AlphaTauri.
Never know. Maybe somebody like Stake
is
like, screw it.
Is he still a reserve driver for someone?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He's racing in like, what, GP3 or whatever. Yeah. So going back to your Mercedes point, who else would you even put in a Mercedes car other than Antonelli today?
There's only one person that's viable outside of Antonelli, and I think that would be Bottas, just to play that number two to play that teammate.
That's interesting.
No, I know you're going to say Mick, and I don't think Mick's an option at Mercedes next year.
I 100% agree with everything he just said. I think Bottas would be an excellent option. He'd be a great number two to George. I think he still has enough skill to... I mean, I don't think George is going to win a WDC right now, but like, I think he has enough skill to help him get to that point and be... you know, a great number two for the team. I also do not see Mick going right now into a Mercedes. I think he needs another opportunity before he would get a big seat.
Yeah, Bottas to Merck was not even something that I thought of, but you're right. It makes sense if they can't get Antonelli. I feel like Bottas, personally, I feel like Bottas has the same possibility of getting a seat in that spot as... Mick does, which at the moment for me is
gonna say Nick DeVries.
No, as Mick. which at the moment is there's no possibility. So sure. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think we're all in agreement that Antonelli's probably getting the seat.
I mean, it has to. It has to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. God, that'd be
what are they holding out for?
Crazy.
Max to leave? Is that the only reason they haven't signed him? Is they're waiting on Max?
No.
I mean, Max has made it clear in the public that he's staying with Red Bull.
Maybe
but he's also
watching
made it,
Antonelli just to make sure he's good to go.
But you lost out on everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. When are you going to take a shot?
And hey, maybe they already have their decision. They're just waiting for some reason.
So
to be the little Toto being a little pressy.
So Alpine and Mercedes, Liam Lawson and V-Carb. Who's taking those last two seats? Alpine and Stake. If Bottas doesn't go to Mercedes, I think he has a good chance of staying at Stake. But
Alpine, it's either going to be Jack or Mick, I believe.
Really?
Mick, because I don't know what it is, but Toto has a connection to Alpine somehow. So it's either going to be Doohan or Mick, I believe. Who's in the second Alpine seat again?
Gasly.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be fine if they had a rookie or a returning driver. And then Stake, yeah, it's hard to think that Joe is going to get re-signed. I heard he brings in good money, though. So
I bet from that Chinese money.
That might solidify him. But if it's not Joe, then I think it's Bottas. I think he just re-signs.
Yeah.
That's my
take.
I
didn't know Joe brought in a lot of money. That's an interesting take. It's another Checo situation,
yes.
You know, yeah. Where you might need him. And it might be a good idea heading into... You know, Audi.
But
I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you.
He's not showing anything on the track.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you on Alpine. I think it's Mick or Doohan, and I think it's going to be Doohan.
Yep.
Just because he already has the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in their academy?
He's a reserve driver.
He's a reserve driver.
He was F2 last year, though. Did he win F2 last year?
I'll double check.
I feel like he won F3's championship.
He was also a reserve driver last year.
Yeah, but nonetheless, so I think that Alpine spot, it's one of those two. I think it's pretty much locked up between one of those two. That Sauber spot, it's so irrelevant at the end of the day until we see something from them. Like,
feels like Haas like 4 years ago.
I don't think Sauber matters until 2026.
Yeah.
Then we'll start actually talking about it. But
K-Mig to Stake. Let's start it.
That'd be crazy. But I think it's going to be, Bottas at the end of the day. I don't see really what other option is out there.
It's at least a somewhat safe.
You know, it's not going to be Joe. Like, he's proven he can't. Yeah,
unless the money's that big.
You saying K-Mag to Stake is just so funny. Take Haas's driver lineup. That's crazy.
But I think Valtteri would bring in quite a lot of money, too. Like, Valtteri has to be bringing in a good amount.
With his calendars, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying it is.
But I also said, I mean, hey, but I said this last week as well. Bottas already looks like he's retired, so he could just do that, you know?
I wouldn't,
like you said, that
nobody
would be
surprised
Bottas
by that.
It would be such
like,
a Bottas thing.
Done.
Yeah. But you know what? I think I'm okay. I don't think he wants to do that, but I feel like he would settle into that life very well.
Is there anything else mentioning before we head into summer break? Is there anything else that could possibly happen that would blow your freaking mind?
I don't really think so. I mean,
I wish we had Cole's Dark Web, but...
For it to be silly season, like, a lot of the silliness, because of the driver market being open, has already kind of cleared its way to this point.
Well, and we were looking forward to that Red Bull speculation, like, for the next couple of weeks, and to maybe get a surprise all of a sudden, and then now that's already shot down. So, yeah, like you said, it's like, okay.
So I don't know.
Ocon signed with Haas. Okay, that's another seat gone. Okay, Carlos is signed. Okay.
It's like, that was, like, the biggest one for sure. Yeah, I guess the Merck seat is now the really big one.
I'm keyed in on Stake.
Even if Antonelli gets into that seat, that's still crazy news.
I think it would be if it already wasn't already just predicted.
Sure.
You know, if it was like going into the year, if they would have made that decision right away,
yeah.
It'd be like, holy
Wild.
Crap, Mercedes, you
what
are.
What are you doing?
But do you think a little bit of it of this, I mean, do you think it not doing that from the start, you know how much pressure that puts on him to perform at the F2 level?
Say that again?
If Mercedes would have started the year saying, yep, Kimi's our driver next year.
Oh.
How much pressure that would have put on him to perform. But
I mean,
then
rumors have already been there all year. Then.
Yeah. But then again,
since Lewis's departure.
Might want to put that pressure on him and see how he handles it.
Mm-hmm. Which he just came out and said last week that he's not sure if he's ready for that.
He don't know if he's handling it well. He doesn't even know.
Like, yeah, that's just got to be, that's a red flag to me. like we touched on last week. That's a red flag. Like, as F1 driver, you got to be about what you're about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely something to keep an eye on through this summer break. With that, well, man, this episode was a doozy. This was a long-winded episode. We had a lot of information to get out. You're not going to see us for a couple weeks anyway. So yeah, we just had to get it out. Obviously, once again, sad to see Tyler go. Take his hiatus here as he becomes a father of a third child.
Big congrats, though.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously.
Thank
no,
you. Thank
seriously.
You. It's exciting. It's exciting.
Obviously, we'll welcome back with open arms whenever he's ready to come talk some more fast laps. Again, just to reiterate, this episode was sponsored by The Cappy. Do not forget to go on Amazon. You can't even see it because it's the same color. Oh, hold up to my pink shirt. The Cappy. Boom. Comes in a 4-pack right on Amazon. I think it's Amazon's choice, was it not?
It was. As well. So, it was.
Great product. Obviously, we use them here at Banner with the Boys. Let's see. August 15th will be our first NFL episode. If you watch any football at all, feel free to dive into that.
American football, that is.
Yeah, American football. Yeah, let's be clear. American football. With that, obviously, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banter, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, obviously YouTube. Even if you don't listen, sub on YouTube too, and then listen on Spotify. That's cool. We love every subscription we can get. With that, we will see you guys after summer break with Fast Laps.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.